Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, however you're listening to us. We thank you, we appreciate you for tuning in yet another episode of Sports Opinions with Chuck and P. I am P. We have Chuck on the line as well. Today we are all football talk as we discuss the NFL playoffs, the divisional round that just happened, as well as preview the games for this week coming up, as well as sports lines. Also, we're going to... I guess we'll start off here. We'll just review the game from last night, college football. Ohio State played Oregon. I guess I should look at the final score. I believe it was 42-20. It seemed a bit closer than that early in the game, but Ohio State, in my opinion, did look like just the better team, the more physical team. Chuck, with this one, I guess I wanted to give your thoughts about the game. I mean, what did you think? We watched together. We saw some things just from both teams physically. You know, one team was more finesse. One team was more physical. Also, thoughts on the conferences as well, Big Ten, Pac-12, compared to the SEC or ACC. You know, where do you see, you know, these conferences playing out within the next year? So, yeah, just let me know what you think about Big Ten play, also Ohio State's victory.
Well, last night, I don't think the game was as close as maybe the score indicated. Got to remember, Ohio State turned over the ball four times, and, like, two of them were on very fluky plays. The one interception where it bounced out the kid's hands, and the one Jameis one thing, like, fumbled. So you take away, that's like four more scoring drives that were halted. They scored 42 points. You do the math. That's maybe 28 points. And I know there's no hypotheticals in sports, but let's be real. They were definitely the better team. They looked like what I thought. I think everyone thought Oregon was supposed to look like. They were the fast team. They had the speed at running back. They had the quarterback who could run the spread offense. They were good. One thing I will say about the quarterback, Cardale Jones, he has to leave. I think it's a no-brainer, but I think he played well. I think Elliott is a great player. He has another year to be like a really great college football player. And that's the thing that Urban Meyer, he has to go up there as one of those all-time coaches at this point. He's won in the SEC. He's won over at Bowling Green, Utah, and now he's winning at one of maybe like top 5 or 10 historical college football programs at Ohio State. And he's transcended from what it was through all scandal and everything. So I definitely think Urban Meyer, there has to be more of a talk about him in the way I feel like we talk about some of these other coaches, i.e. Nick Saban. Big Ten football, I think this is an omission. We always knew that Ohio State and Michigan State were probably the class of that conference. Wisconsin is a very good team, but when has Wisconsin ever been? You know, Wisconsin always folds when it's time for Wisconsin to fold. So, but like Penn State, ever since Joe Pa, even before Joe Pa incident, they weren't really Penn State. As you know, the Big Ten as a whole isn't a good conference. I don't want, that's the thing, like when people were talking about SEC dominance, that was real. Like, they have a whole, like, okay, the SEC West did horrible in this bowl season, but that's one game. If you put all these teams like they should in a 60 team league, the power conferences, and you let them play out, see how many teams from the SEC whoop up on ACC, Big Ten, and other conferences week in and week out. And I think that is that's something I don't like about the rhetoric that's being thrown around, because I think it's easy to try to stab the SEC while they're down, but I feel like, is this really down, or is this, you know, people play some good football this weekend, you know, any given Saturday. I think that's more so what I believe. And I think next year, the SEC will they'll have a team. They may have multiple teams in the playoffs, and they'll probably win it. I don't see why they wouldn't. Jameis isn't coming back, so I don't think FSU will be that good. They're the only team in the ACC that I would be worried about. I hear people telling me about Clemson and some other teams, but once again, all these teams have to prove it. There's no team outside the SEC that I'm willing to say right now. Maybe TCU, because I think if TCU comes back intact, they're fighting for something, and they got a chip on their shoulder. But other than that, I don't really think there's too many teams out there that can honestly say they're on par with the upper echelon teams in the SEC.
Right. As far as my take on it, you could put. I would say, you know, as far as Big Ten talk, everyone was down on the Big Ten this year. Man, it seemed to me that Ohio State saved them. Actually, you know, they're getting some talk now. You know about Big Ten possibly. Also, you know, Jim Harbaugh got, you know, hired at Michigan to be the head football coach there. So, you know, there's some Big Ten talk, and then you got Franklin over at Penn State, who's a coach that players tend to like. You know, he used to be a recruiter at Maryland, so players tend to like him. He, you know, very innovative guy. But as far as the Big Ten, you also have Wisconsin. Like you said, they usually choke in a big game. It was the Big Ten championship this year. Ohio State blew them out 56-0, I believe. 59.
But even this is the conference's first major championship, I think, since Ohio State's last football championship in, like, I think any of, like, the major men's sports other than, like, I think I've heard, like, Michigan gymnastics or something like that. Like, overall, the conference hasn't been as strong as I think, as we all know it. And I think people now, like you said, Ohio State really saved them. And now the Big Ten, you know, supporters now want to show their chest. But I wouldn't get too high on that horse before next year comes and life hits you fast. But, yeah, you continue.
Yeah, here's my thing. I've always been a big guy on SEC because, you know, Southern football, you know, those guys are built for it as far as the Texas guys, the, you know, Florida, you know, region. But, you know, Big Ten football, it's not something that I'm going to sit here and continue to knock. Obviously, they just, you know, they had the a team, you know, who just won a championship. But I would actually put them, Ohio State, probably number one at the, you know, beginning of the year, seeing that they have a lot of their guys coming back, like Elliott, that defensive lineman, I think it's like Bosa or something of that nature. But I agree with you with Cordell Jones. I think, you know, he should go to NFL. It's like either you're probably not going to start Ohio State backup JT Barrett next year and Braxton Miller transfers, or, you know, you're going to have to transfer and, you know, you're not getting paid. And you can get paid. I know he has a little girl. You know, he's trying to raise a family. He's about 22, 23, same age as us. So, I expect him to go to NFL, but I think the SEC, you know, when I look at them, you know, these guys all beat each other. Like, they had to beat each other up, and especially the SEC West. The SEC East had a down year, me being a Gamecock fan. But I expect them, you know, South Carolina to be back next year. I think Florida will improve. I don't think they'll be, you know, as good yet. But just think ago, Florida was pretty good 2 years ago. I remember they had a stout defense with Matt Elam and those boys. So I don't think you can ever count the SEC out. Their coaches are great recruiters. And not to mention, Bama is going to be back. Bama seems to be, you know, in the conversation every year. But what I do find, though, interesting, Chuck, is this year, if it was any other year, we would have had Alabama, Florida State playing in the championship, and probably Alabama would have blew them out. So the college playoff, what was your just overall thought on it? Because I truly enjoyed it because I felt like we got a true winner. TCU may feel a little robbed. Maybe they will have to expand it. But overall, I feel like we got a winner, you know, through a solid playoff system. What did you think about the playoff?
Yeah, they got it right. I have no gripes with it. It's what it was. Like, you need to have a playoff system in every sport to determine the winner. Like, there's no way you can let polls and coaches' votes and old stupid sports reporters who don't know what they're talking about make the decision. So it's like, no, let the people play on the field. And like you said, Ohio State, arguably, and I think everybody's mind, beat the two best teams in college football on a neutral field with enough, with equal amount of time to prepare. You know, like, I don't see what the issue at hand is. I think anybody who's upset about the college football system is mad that their team didn't get in, because I think this is what people's gripe is, that TCU feels that they have a better resume than Ohio State, and maybe Baylor does too, and they're saying that could have been us. Now, we'll never know because they didn't get to play on the field, but I think that is a legitimate gripe, but as far as the playoff system, I love it.
Right. I mean, you know, the guys that are complaining that they didn't get in, I mean, you know, it's a hard thing. I mean, it's only four teams. You can't fit in six. That's my, theory on it. But, I mean, overall, yeah, like you said, I agree. I like the playoff. They're probably going to expand it to eight within the next year. So maybe not this year coming up, but after that year, I'll expect them to expand it to eight. The overall, Ohio State looked very good. Kudos to Urban Meyer, of the Bill Belichick ilk as well, him, Saban, Meyer, of the same ilk. But, yeah, I mean, I thought he did a great job as far as, you know, going through the season. You know, you lost your starting quarterback in August. Everyone counted you out. You're bringing this new guy who struggles in Virginia Tech or in Blacksburg, Virginia, whatever. And, you know, people were counting him out because of that, but he got better as the season goes on. He gets hurt. You put in this third-string guy who wins, you know, three straight games and looks like an NFL prospect. So I think kudos to Urban Meyer. I see that Cordell Jones wasn't his recruit. It was Jim Tressel's, but you know, you still have to get those guys prepared. You have to keep them happy. He didn't want to transfer, so that meant something. But yeah, we're going to move on now, Chuck, talk a little college football. Once again, congratulations, Ohio State. I got some quick thoughts on Oregon, though, before we move on, Chuck. They just didn't seem, you know, the finesse style just doesn't seem to work for them. They always seem to lose big games of this nature. You know, receivers drop some open passes. But what did you think about Mariota, Chuck?
It's hard to read. Like, we were watching the game, and there was multiple times where you said, look, second read. And I looked, and I said, damn, you're right. He didn't make the – when it came to the second read, he put his head down, and he got scared. But there were times that I said, look, he got to the second read. He got to the check down, man. So it's like, yeah, how do you – you know, like, especially with quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, and especially how the NFL is moving with open offenses, spreading the ball around. If you can get offensive coaches on the next level to play to these kids' skill set, or, you know, to coach to these, or make, you know, form offenses around that, then I think you have a chance. But if you're going to tell me Mariota has to drop back, he's going to have to scan different defenses that are way more complex than anything he saw at his time in Oregon, that's going to be a hard, you know, transition for him. He's not going to be the Mariota who only threw, what, I think 11 interceptions in his whole career or something like that, some crazy number like that. So as far as the prospect, I still think he's a very good player. Like, I'm not watching hundreds of hours of game tape on him, so I don't want to, you know, make it seem like I'm giving, like, a draft grade, but I feel as though, like, I would probably take Jameis over him just from what I look to see from the court. I think Jameis is probably the better quarterback. I think Mariota can be a very good quarterback, but it's gonna take some fine tuning. If you think that Mariota, as what he is, I know probably nobody, but if you really think that him at this raw form is good enough? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to knock Mario. I think he's a good quarterback, but he is, you know, Oregon system is, you know, very quick to the line. You know, they first read usually go. When he has to get to the second read, sometimes he struggles. Sometimes he'll be able to make the throw. But like you said, I think I'll take Jameis over him. If I have the number one pick and I'm Tampa, I'm taking Jameis. I'm keeping him in Florida for one. But also, Mariota, as far as his size and, you know, his mobile speed is a big part of his game. And, you know, when I see him run sometimes, you know, it just reminds me of RG3 when he runs and the stature that, you know, he doesn't have that Cam Newton stature or Ben Roethlisberger or even Cordell Jones, who's, you know, a big guy, could take some pounding. But I think, you know, maybe – you know, he may take a hit or two that, you know, in the NFL that he probably wouldn't expect, you know, as far as the guys being faster than college athletes. But, you know, that concerns me. And also, I think he has to be in the right system. So, you know, if you want to go out here and, you know, draft him, you have to have the right system for him, the right people in place. So, but I think he could be a good quarterback with those conditions, a good franchise quarterback with those conditions. But like I said, I'm taking Jameis, pro-style offense in college, championship, you know, so I'll take Jameis over him. Okay, as we move on to NFL, Chuck, this past weekend, what went down? Well, the Patriots beat the Ravens in Foxborough 35-31, I believe it was. Brady, outstanding performance, threw a touchdown. Over the top to LaFell at the end of the game. Lovely to see for me. And then, well, I guess a quick take. I mean, what did you think of that game, Chuck?
I mean, the Patriots did some Patriots. The Patriots do. They won at the end of the pulling out of pants, sneaky plays, or I don't know. Man, at this point, I don't know how you bet against. Is it like, even as a person who doesn't like the Patriots, what's this? This is their fourth straight AFC conference championship game.
Right.
They would have been to, what, six Super Bowls in, like, the last 12, 13 years? It's like, they're the team. Like, as long as they're in the game and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are on the other side of the field, at this point, you have to see, they always have to be the team that you're picking to win. And I've sort of felt like that on when they play the Ravens. Even though the Ravens had beat them before, they got the type of team that could do it. I've seen Joe Flacco outplay Tom Brady in playoff games. I just knew that Tom Brady wasn't going to let that happen today. And he did it.
Right. Yep. Also, Flacco didn't play bad in a loss, 2-4 touchdowns, a bad pick towards the end. But, yeah, I mean, I just thought the Patriots put out every stop in this one. What's the guy? Edelman threw a pass to Amendola, you know, receiver pass. Like you said, they had an ineligible, you know, lineman who was a running back who was spread out, who just didn't go out for a pass. He just stood in the backfield as he was going to block someone. You know, and it threw the Ravens off. But like you said, yeah, the Patriots, you know, they seem to get back here every year. This is the best defense that I've seen they had in a while. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. It's just the early 2000s. This is the best defense I've seen them have. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I'm glad that they beat the Ravens, though. I know that's their little nemesis. Also, Terrell Suggs. Steve Smith as well, Steve Smith Sr. rather, didn't address Tom Brady by name this week. So Brady had a little comment for them after the game. They need to learn the rules. So I love that. But we moved on. 8:30, Seattle beat Carolina. What was it, 31-17, Chuck, I believe. Whatever. They beat us.
Yeah,
beat us pretty, I want to say pretty handily. We had some shots to take the lead, but some old Carolina mistakes. Seattle's a better team, so, I mean, they won the game. Not mad at all at them. Cam Chancellor did some ultra-incredible things. He's a scary man. But Yeah, Seattle gets the W. They move on. I thought it was a pretty okay game. You know, both defenses are better than both offenses, I would think. But and yeah, Green Bay, Chuck. This game was interesting as we all watched together. But Green Bay beat the Cowboys on a controversial play. Dez Bryant, fourth and two, goes up, makes the catch, comes down, and loses the ball. You know, they're talking about changing the rule now, Chuck, which is bothering me because it's been the rule for years. You know, if the guy goes down with the ball and then pops out and, you know, catches it again, it's an incomplete pass. But overall, I thought this was a good game. I would probably give Ravens Patriots best game of the weekend, but this one was a good game. Green Bay moves on. Aaron Rodgers looked like the MVP. But, Chuck, what do you think of this one?
Well, I mean, you know what you said. As far as the rule goes, that's the rule. It's like the tough rule. If you don't like it, you can definitely disagree with it. But a rule is a rule. And I specifically remember saying that it was a catch on any other, you know, any other surface, any other play, but not in the NFL. And these are the rules. Like, I don't know why people are upset about it, and I don't understand why it's as controversial, because the same thing happened to Calvin Johnson. The exact same thing happened to Calvin Johnson a few years ago, and it was like, okay, it happened. Maybe because this is in the bigger spot, I understand that, all those different things, but if you hated it that much, then why not say something about the rules then? And as far as the captain, like, Dez making a move, he never had possession of the ball. When, if you look at the play, because Shields gets his hand on the ball.
Yeah, he gets the hand ball. On it, and he never had
possession. So the ball is moving before Dez ever takes two steps. So that whole, Dez never put, so I think it was a great call. When it went down at the play, I said that wasn't the catch, and I think, hey, those are the rules. So, hey, it is what it is. And as far as the game goes, I think that one play is overshadowed the fact that Aaron Rodgers was magnificent on one leg. There were parts in that game, times in that game, where he was throwing the ball with his whole body and no left leg. Literally just gunning it with his arm and up, just strut. And I'm not saying that he's going to beat the Seahawks next week, but if there's any quarterback that you have to tell me has to go in there in the conference championship game, look, I'm glad it's my boy, and I'm glad we're gonna do it. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Right. Green Bay meets in Seattle this Sunday, 3:05 p.m. Seattle's favored by 7 at home. Last time I checked, it was 7. May drop to 6, but. Let's just say 7. So, Seattle's favored by 7. Me personally, I'll take Green Bay plus that 7 on that one, Chuck. What about you?
Green Bay plus I'm going to take Green Bay. Look, I'm going to take Green Bay, not just plus 7. I'm going to take Green Bay and win again.
Right.
Not only because it's just my squad, but I feel as though when you have a quarterback who is hot as Aaron Rodgers, I know he's a different quarterback, wouldn't let us stay away from Lambeau, but I just feel as though he is hot to the point where it's going to be him versus Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, or Bruce Irvin, and you know, the rest of Bennett, all those players on the defense, and I think Ed Lacy, Nelson, Cobb, Cord, and everyone, you know, if everyone comes to play and everyone brings their A game, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers in them. The only slight thing is that there's another side of the ball for the Packers. And I don't know if Russell Wilson and Tony Romo, as far as quarterbacks go, but he's a hell of a quarterback. And I don't know if Russell Wilson's athleticism, you know, getting out of the pocket is going to come back and hurt us. Because I still have nightmares of what Colin Kaepernick did to us a few years ago, and I would hate to see that happen again.
Right. Those mobile quarterbacks usually hurt the Packers playoffs. But I think you just need to, like, throw a – usually he runs on when I watch Russell Wilson, he doesn't run usually on first downs. Mostly third downs, second or third downs. You got to stop that run first, though. I don't know if you guys will be able to do that as successful as Carolina did. But if you can keep contained or keep a spy, I think you just tell Clay Matthews, look, it's an 11-on-11 game. This year, one man, make sure he does not get out of here. So, I mean, although he is an elusive quarterback, he does, you know, these spins and things of that nature. But you have to keep him inside that, inside the pocket and try to make him throw. It's hard, though, when he gets time. So you definitely have to do some things at him. He's a smart quarterback. Send some erotic blitzes. I saw one play in a red zone. We sent an all-out blitz at him. He just throws the ball up, perfect point, and beats our rookie safety in Carolina. But I think the Packers definitely have a chance. So I'll take the +7 on that one. But we had another game that went on this weekend. I wanted to save it for last because
I hope you didn't forget because this is what it, I promised the end of the show. Can we do the Colts? I mean, not the Colts, but the. The Patriots, the Patriots coach line now, just so we can just end the show on that.
Okay. Patriots are favored by 7 at home, so this week. And I'll take the Patriots -7. What about you, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Patriots and the points. I just feel like the Colts are not that good team. Are not that good of a team other than outside of Andrew Luck. Like, I understand Andrew Luck is a very good player. I'm not going to say he's great or elite, but he's a very good player. He's at that upper echelon, top 10 quarterback at the moment. But I just feel as though when you put everything on him, he makes mistakes. He throws picks. And Tom Brady doesn't do that. Tom Brady capitalizing. And because Tom Brady is not going to be paying Manning, which we'll get to in a few seconds, they'll win. And they'll win handily, probably.
Right, I see Andrew Luck throwing a pick and Brady throwing it, just out of bounds before he let something damaging happen to his team. But yeah, I'll take New England to get back to the Super Bowl. I'm definitely rooting for them, 6:40 p.m. on Sunday. But as we revisit how the Colts got here, Indianapolis, which is interesting. Let me see here. This is Andrew Luck's third year, correct? Won a playoff game his first year.
He didn't win
a playoff game his first year. He lost against the Ravens, right? Wild card. Okay. But 1-1 last year, 1-2 this year. So he's won 3 playoff games. That is more than Peyton in his Denver era. Now, as we get to Peyton, Peyton has 2 playoff victories in Denver, which came last year on their way to the Super Bowl in the divisional round and the conference championship against the Patriots. Peyton Manning looks out of it to say the least. He's continuing to throw ducks, and he's only getting older. The biggest issue in the Super Bowl last year was, to me, their offensive line and Peyton Manning throwing those ducks. Now, over the offseason, it seemed to me that the Denver Broncos went out and stacked up on their defense and got crazy, T.J. Ward, Aqib Talib, DeMarcus Ware, to name a few. And I'm not sure that it exactly helped them where they need to be helped, because last year Seattle's defensive line got out their old line and made Peyton look a mess. So this year they did some rearranging, but it's just not looking good, and now John Fox has been fired, or they've agreed to mutually part ways. Their defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator may go, too. Chuck, I think Peyton will come back next year, but overall, is this just the end? Do we see him in another Super Bowl? Can he win another one?
You sent me a text earlier about all the coaches or offensive coordinators who've been fired on Peyton Manning's watch, over the last 4 or 5 years. Four or five. And the thing is, when does it become Peyton Manning? Even before he started throwing ducks last year, the end of last year and this year, Peyton Manning hasn't been a good playoff quarterback for his whole career. He was 1-2. He was one and one in the Super Bowl before that, and the one Super Bowl he won was on the back of his running back. So, like, when you check up everything in totality, Peyton Manning, this is what he does. He puts up the numbers when he gets to play the Jags and other teams in AFC South for years and years. And, you know, he's a great regular season quarterback. But when it comes down to it, he does not win. And I don't know what I don't know why I feel like we're trying to mask it in all these different ways. He's just a nicer version of Brett Favre, who's going to be honest. He's just a more polished or clean or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I think this is the end of them. I think Peyton Manning, as we know it, is gone for. And I hear people talking about, like, oh, he was injured and bringing all that up. But I just think it doesn't matter. He's about to be 38, and that's, like, eternity in football years.
Right. You know, they said, you know, I guess he had a hurt quad, but, you know, it's more than that. It, you know, we saw some of it last year. We're seeing it more of it this year. We want to see it more of it next year, coming down the stretch especially. So, you know, in September and October, as he comes out next year with Demaryius and Julius, who I think they're going to re-sign, Julius Thomas, you know, I think they're going to be okay. But as you get, you know, towards the end of the year and you start getting those injuries to your players, like Julius Thomas, who had a high ankle sprain and kind of turned their season around, but you get those injuries and, you know, your quarterback, you know, still had to get out of the way, you know, get hurried up this year because the offensive line wasn't that good. That's why he had the hurt quad. So, you know, you do all those things and you try to, you rebuild your defense, if you will, but the offensive line is still the same. And, yeah, I think towards the end of the latter of the year, start throwing more ducks. He gets colder outside. That's Peyton the way. That's the Peyton way, it seems like. I don't see him reaching another Super Bowl. I see him playing next year, maybe one year after, but I don't know. It's sad to see. I mean, I always kind of root for Peyton to, you know, lose. I've seen him go against the Patriots for years. I've always rooted for the Pats over Peyton, but yeah, this one was sad to see, you know, losing against the, you know, the guy who they got to replace him. So, yeah, I think he will come back. I think maybe he'll have another somewhat of an MVP season, but, you know, getting to the playoffs and winning a Super Bowl, I just don't see it. So, any final thoughts, Chuck?
No, that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. We'll come back later this week, talk NBA. Trey went down as well today. Doesn't really matter. Back, you know, back of point guards, whatever, but NBA talk later this week. We thank you. We appreciate you for tuning in. Chuck and P, we are.